The Picture for Texas, July 14, 2021, by Justice Anna Vaughn writes, Big Lake, Alaska. I have faith in the people of Texas. The Federation of States has no desire or intention to shut the Texas Assembly down, just need to shut down the activities and influences that have been trying to create an excuse to attack us and label a lot of innocent people armed insurrectionists and extremists. People don't realize that our enemies have a lot to gain by painting us as insurrectionists and extremists, and this is exactly the scenario Eric Dingus was setting up. They have been preparing to kill their priority creditors for a long time, but in order to get away with it, they need a cover story. Making us look like the aggressors and lawbreakers suits their interests to a T. They'd love to attack us and blame the victims, too. Everyone is aware of what happened at Ruby Ridge, at Waco, and to Lavoie Finicum. Don't forget the Colorado 9 and the tragic story of young Schaefer Cox, jailed for 26 years for a thought crime. All these actions were promoted and executed by the FBI. It does not take rocket science to figure out what the FBI is capable of and understand the need to keep an eye on them. They watch us. We watch them. As long as everyone stays in their lane, that's fine enough. But when they trespass, things get ugly. Their bosses have motivations and business interests contrary to ours, and sometimes, things go sideways. They get uppity and start planning and hiring operatives, for big money, to garner influence and spread confusion and compromise the organization. That's their lingo, not mine. Right off the page in front of my nose, on their letterhead. Pretty soon, you've got a situation like we've got right now. Eric Dingus has been presented to you all as an innocent Texan, wrongly accused, slandered, harmed by outsiders, the big, bad Federation. Your instinct to protect a fellow Texan, your sense of justice and fair play, your well-established dislike and distrust of the federal government, even though the Federation is resoundingly not the federal government, it is being deliberately confused with the federal government, all that, is being manipulated and used to fuel high emotions. But high emotions are not called for. What is called for is cold analytical evaluation. The FBI admits that Eric Dingus is an asset and that he has worked for them providing information and selling that information to them, about the Texas militias for over 16 years and has also worked undercover for the DEA. When applying for the job as PKTF director, he admitted the DEA connection, but not the FBI connection. Why admit one and not the other? That's the first question. When we ran a routine background check prior to him coming on board, it came back squeaky clean. So clean that both I and one of our security chiefs said, it looks too clean. Looks like it's been scrubbed. Then our contact on the ground came back from Amarillo and said, this guy barely exists. None of these reports were definitive, that is, we couldn't prove anything one way or the other, but it wasn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. When Eric started the job, we gave him the mission statements for both the PKTF and the Continental Marshals as a starting point. This is perfectly routine and there is no reason in the world that we didn't or wouldn't do this. There are multiple ways we can verify that we did. So he had cause to know what the PKTF was supposed to be doing from the get-go, and he also had cause to know the completely separate mission of the Continental Marshals Service. Now he is claiming that we didn't give him that information. Why wouldn't we? It's public information, used to define and organize both organizations. All of it discussed multiple times and in multiple ways in many emails. There's no way or reason that we would pay a man $2,000 a month, plus project money, plus offer him use of a 37 motor home and a car, and not tell him what his job was. He had those mission statements, but he ignored them and deliberately didn't share them around with the men and women involved. Why? The most likely answer is that it's a lot easier to misdirect people if they don't know or aren't sure of what their mission really is. Next question, what did he do? He put himself in the middle, told the marshals that he was in charge of them, and every single one of those men will affirm it, and proceeded to commandeer the marshals' service, something not even remotely related to the job of the PKTF director. That's contrary to the mission statements of both organizations and contrary to any directives spoken or written ever given to him. Then, there's the sequence of events. Leloy introduces Eric Dingus as a likely candidate for PKTF director. Eric get his intro. Eric threatens Leloy privately, three times. She mysteriously steps down from being Texas coordinator. Kim Reynolds is brought forward by Eric Dingus, vetted, and installed as Texas coordinator. Eric goes to Utah and gets embroiled in a child custody complaint, having nothing to do with his job at all. Eric stays in Utah. During this same time, the FBI/State of Utah installs a gun bunker on the property of Jackie Smith, the Utah coordinator, attempting to frame her as a violent insurrectionist and give themselves an excuse to kill her and confiscate her property. We foil their efforts, dissolve the Utah Assembly so there is no target for them there, and expose them to Interpol and other law enforcement groups. They recoil and move on. Eric begins moving all over the western states, notably to Colorado and Oklahoma and Texas and Nevada. We track his movements. He makes many inexplicable side trips between point A and point B, and not to visit anyone associated with our assemblies. We give him the benefit of the doubt and think at first that he is meeting with covert militia leaders, trying to get them to come in under the safety of the official and well-regulated state assembly militia. But no. We still don't know all that he was doing, but we do know that several of the places he visited are FBI safe houses. So, go figure. Didn't admit FBI employment. Was present throughout the big dust-up in Utah. Was visiting FBI safe houses while purportedly on business trips for us. Walks like a duck. Quacks like a duck. Eric brings forward a proposal to contract with a Canadian company for our secure email and internal communications system. Canada is always the back door for the Brits to spy on us. We inquire about this aspect of the proposal and get a shine-on answer. Eric starts negotiating with private corporations for funding, including corporations known to be shelf corporations for government agencies. Fast forward, in rapid-fire succession, Wayne Hoomsley, California coordinator, comes under fire for being irresponsible with petty cash. Scott Sanford, Colorado coordinator, is threatened and a real estate Ponzi scheme gets attached to him without his knowledge or consent. He is being set up for criminal charges and removal as Colorado coordinator, in broad daylight. We intervene and derail the real estate gambit they are trying to foist off on Scott. Again, we report them to Interpol and police corruption investigators. At this point, I sent Eric a nasty note and told him enough is enough, get back in his box. I order a reinvestigation of what happened with Leloy and send a team to investigate Eric's cover story on the ground in Amarillo. Comes back that La was threatened and coerced to resign her post as coordinator by Eric, after having befriended Eric and having recommended him in the first place. Investigation in Amarillo is inconclusive, has a house there, but no real presence. Texas, Utah, California, and Colorado coordinators, all successively attacked and targeted for removal and replacement, the four most important states in the West from a military standpoint. Coincidence? We get wind that Eric is pushing something big and a copy of correspondence in which he promotes forming a unified and national force-something roughly equivalent to the National Guard, financed by the private corporations mentioned before. The problem is that the National Guard is illegal as it is presently composed, and so would any such armed force promoted by the assemblies. Creation of such an armed force extending beyond individual state borders would give the FBI and other agencies all the excuse needed to crack down and go to war against all the violent armed insurrectionists Eric was trying to create out of thin air. So we sacked him and not a moment too soon. Eric vows revenge and that there will be trouble. We named his co-director, Susan Houck, to replace him, and then had to replace her, too, because barely a week later, she moved to decommission the Continental Marshals Service, an action that Eric had planned prior to his departure, and which she attempted to carry through, and which neither one of them had any authority to do. 3 weeks after sending Eric packing, all the simmering misbehavior in Michigan erupts, Kim Reynolds is warned to make tracks away from Merrick and his agenda, but instead, she starts bad-mouthing me and the Federation and plotting an end-run around our authority. Wayne Hoomsley is found in dishonor by a second independent investigation, and Josh Gandy, the now former Hawaii coordinator, has another episode in which he spews all sorts of gossipy nonsense and slanders Lola Roy and my executive officer. So the way I read this, Texas, Utah, California, and Colorado were targeted and attacked, while Michigan and Hawaii and possibly Nebraska had sleeper cells of people who had infiltrated and were undermining morale and progress in those states. Someone said that I was cleaning house and I hope to do a good job of it. Assembling a nation is a serious job and responsibility. There are a lot of big business interests that don't want to see us succeed, and a lot of federal agencies that are armed to the teeth and do whatever they are told, no questions asked. Every assembly and every assembly member has to be clued in and vigilant and has to know that these things happen. And it's the Federation's job to make sure things don't go astray on the road to get where we are going. If you think we were wrong about Eric Dingus, look where you'd be without us. First, you wouldn't be assembling at all, you'd be cowered down in your homes, waiting to be resettled so as to expedite Chinese and Arab creditors of the U.S. corporation coming in and seizing your homes and businesses and moving you to nice internment camps. Or on the lam, fighting a guerrilla war with whatever gunpowder you had. Second, you wouldn't have any public records identifying you as Americans. You'd all be misidentified as territorial subjects of the Queen and dual federal citizens, owned as property by the Roman Pontiff. Third, the rest of the world wouldn't have ever known what was going on in this country. No action in your favor would have been brought in the high international courts. Nothing would have been said or proven, and this entire country would have been deemed vacated and without a government operating in international jurisdiction. Fourth, your Continental Marshal Service would have been decommissioned on paper, and there would be no international peacekeeping officers in your land jurisdiction, which would have allowed the UN an excuse to move their officers into your states and begin the resettlement described in the first item listed here. Fifth, if Eric Dingus had had his way, you would be blamed for creating an illegal armed force, and that illegal armed force would have been liberally described as a rabble of armed violent insurrectionists and extremists, and the various agencies would have been let loose on you with the support of the National Guard, and this whole country would shortly look like the siege of the Branch Davidians in Waco. Do you need the Federation to guide you through this and keep you safe? You'd better know that you do. Anna Maria. See this article and over 3,200 others on Anna Von Wright's website. Support Anna's work using PayPal donation. Remedy. Find out how to stop the plunder, robbery, and piracy. If you really are serious about knowing how to restore the Republic and your freedom, you need to put some effort into knowing how our freedoms are being robbed from us by fraud, lack of full disclosure, deception, threat, duress, coercion, and intimidation every day of our lives and have been for over 100 years by the criminals who have hijacked our government, wealth, and heritage for their own gain and evil intentions. Are you really required to file a 1040 income tax form with the IRS? Are you really required to obey draconian codes and statutes issued by the so-called federal government? At Anna Von Wright's website you will learn precisely how Americans have been press-ganged into the foreign international jurisdiction of the sea and have as a result been attached, attacked, and deprived of their rights and property under conditions of fraud, semantic deceit, and non-disclosure. At the American States Assembly you will learn the lawful remedies for these problems and crimes committed against Americans. Remember, there is no statute of limitations against the crime of fraud, and that fraud destroys any contract that it touches.